Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Our next guest, a guy I just saw over at Breslin Center with Magic Johnson, but I want to talk to him about something else first, something very important, and that is the 2010 MSU-PSU Blood Challenge at Michigan State and Penn State University, and that's sports announcer, sports director, WKAR, and that is Earl Robinson. Hey, Earl, how are you?
Hey, I'm okay. Jack, how you doing, buddy?
Just fine. You get involved in this blood challenge because you know how important the American Red Cross is. You lived it a couple years ago.
Yes.
You were in a situation, and certainly blood donations are critical in this and every other area of this country, and the blood challenge that we have with Michigan State and Penn State has tremendous potential. What does this area have to do to win more often? It's only won 5 of the last 16 times.
Well, we need to get more people out. I mean, you know, the students do a great job, but we really need to get more of the public out, the public involved in the challenge. It's a great cause, and I would like to think and hope more. And we've lost to Penn State the last 4 years in a row. So Penn State, we really want to get it back. You know, they give a little trophy out between the schools, whoever gets the most blood donations. So I know we here at Michigan State, we really love to win it for a change.
Well, the last time Michigan State won this was what, 2005, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, 2005, 4, yep.
So it's actually, it's beaten Penn State in football more recently than it's beat them in this blood challenge.
Yes. We'd love to beat them at home. We haven't done that in a while.
Right.
That's right. The next one.
Yeah, there you go.
Or beat them
on the road. Haven't beaten them in State College since 1965. So
yep.
You got to go back a ways with that. But just winning the blood challenge right now would certainly be
yes.
a nice thing for a lot of people.
It would.
You had a chance to speak today along with East Lansing Mayor Vic Loomis and a number of other dignitaries. What was your message?
Basically, to try and hopefully, like I just said earlier, try to get more people involved. We really need to get more people involved, more of the public involved. They've got over 16 of the 23 dorms, 16 are involved in it. And that's great. You know, if they can get the other 7 dorms, it would be really good. But, you know, we need more of the public to get involved and to give blood. I've given blood in the past, and I can't do it right now because, as you know, because of the surgeries I've had.
Right.
But, you know, I've done it again. I'll do it again whenever I'm given the okay. But I really like to see more people get involved and just give a pint of blood. It doesn't hurt you, won't cost you a thing, you know, and that's something that can help. That helps other people, Jack. You and I, we're not patting ourselves on the back, but we've done a lot of things for other people, and this is just one of them, you know, and I think a lot of other people should get involved. It's just something that they should certainly do and become involved in.
Yeah, you know, we've done shows over there and talked to a lot of people, but I don't know that I felt any better than when I've worn that little sticker around.
Yeah.
That I gave blood today.
Yep.
You know, there aren't a lot of things that you can do that you know are going to have a positive influence. You may think they are. You may hope they are. But in that case, you know they are.
Yes. And the need of blood is so great. I mean, that's the thing. You know, we don't know how much, but every year there's a need for a lot of blood. And we just need people to go out there and be active and to give.
What's your blood type, Earl?
Uh-O.
You're O? I'm O negative. So I'm getting all of these calls, right?
Uh-huh.
And they're constantly, every time there's a blood shortage, my phone is ringing. So,
yeah.
You know, they know where I live. But I want to talk to you a little bit about football season and baseball season coming to an end.
Yeah.
Does it seem like this has been a different kind of World Series?
Without a doubt. I mean, none of us gave the Philadelphia, the Giants
right.
and Texas a chance to meet. We all thought it was going to be Philadelphia, New York.
Right.
They were the glamour teams. They had the big staff. And then now that it looks like San Francisco may close it out, it is a big surprise. I mean, but we should have been because they have the best pitching staff.
Yeah.
And that's the thing with baseball. Doesn't matter how many good sticks you have, you've got to have pitching. And certainly San Francisco has proved it, that they've got the best pitching staff.
Yeah, that certainly makes a difference, especially in a short series, but we're not getting that double up effect. You used to be, if you had a tremendous pitcher, an ace, he was going to go games 1, 4, and 7.
That's right.
We're not seeing guys pitch three times in a World Series much anymore.
No, you know, baseball, the game has totally changed. They're so protective of pitchers' arms. So, you know, we may not ever see that again. It have to be a unique situation, you know, in the postseason. But very rarely do we see guys pitching on 3 days rest anymore, especially in the postseason. It's sort of sad. I know we harken back to the old days, but, you know, those old days look like they're just long gone, as I used to say.
Yeah, you know, we're dinosaurs. Or we're some of the guys who remember when baseball used to be played in the day, in the afternoon, in the World Series. So we used to watch it in school.
Exactly. Yeah, we did too.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about football, America's real national pastime. And on three levels, I was on my way to Iowa last Friday night and wound up staying in Morris, Illinois with the rest of our travel party. We had five of us. And we went out and got some dinner, and who should walk in but former Michigan State quarterback Todd Schultz, who was a Morris native, wearing all of his Spartan gear. And little did we know that we were about to see Kirk Cousins have a day a lot like Todd Schultz had against Michigan in 97.
Yeah, Kirk, he had a bad one. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, if he can check, hopefully next year, you know, he won't throw off his back foot as much. Hopefully he'll, you know, identify his receivers quicker, because he certainly needs to release it quicker. He still holds on to the ball too long, so he's got a lot of things to work on in the offseason.
Yeah, yeah. Why is it so hard to get him to shift his weight and throw off his front foot?
You know, he must have been doing it for so long, it's just habit. You know, a lot of guys, they get into habits, and it's hard to make them change their habits.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing about football. If you've had some bad habits, but if they work for you, a lot of times the coaches won't mess with you, you know, if they work for you. And, you know, it's just hard to change those bad habits. We see that all the time. And, you know, and we see coaches trying to break players of bad habits and things they think will make them better. And a lot of times it's just hard for those guys to make those changes, to change those habits.
Sure, sure. Hey, one bit of news for you, Earl. When we were in Iowa City last week, I talked to some people there, and I said, you know, I'd love to see Norm Parker.
Yes.
And they weren't letting anyone close to him, but he was in the stadium, and so I got word to him. And he's going to try to be back at work next week. And, you know, he has had some severe health problems. You're talking about the diabetes, and it's been extremely difficult for him. But he is hoping he's not going to give up. You know, he said, hey, I got a couple more years in me. So he wants to come back and finish this season out.
What is it about these guys? They love coaching so much.
I don't know.
I mean, you know, Joe Pass, he just refused. I don't think he's going to retire even after this year. He loves coaching so much.
Yeah.
And it's in his blood. So many of these guys, they just can't give it up. With all the health problems that Parker's had, you would think he said, hey, it's time to go, but he still wants to keep going. It's just something about when these guys, people get this coaching in their system, they just can't, you know, they can't walk away.
Well, if Penn State makes a bowl game, and there's every indication that it could, 5-3, he will coach that bowl game, Joe Paterno now, at age 84. His birthday is December 21st. It's the same birthday as I have. So we're 25 years apart, and he would be 84 years old coaching that bowl game. Now, to me, that's, you know, I guess you see you can have senators who are up in their late 80s too, so you know, I suppose you can have a football coach.
Yep. Yeah, you could.
Well, what is it about this Michigan State team that stands out to you, especially after the debacle in Iowa City? I see that Spartans have dropped from 5th to 14th in the polls in the BCS standings, but in the computer rankings, and you are a poll voter, you vote in the Harris poll, but in the computer rankings, Earl, Michigan State has gone from 3rd to only 10th and is still the top-ranked Big Ten team, and is 5 slots ahead of Alabama in the computers, if you can believe that.
Yeah, that is a little bit surprising, because we know that basically Alabama is probably a better team. You know, they play a tougher schedule, and that may have hurt Michigan State somewhat. They played really a soft schedule this year. I mean, it's not their fault, but that's the way it worked out, and, you know, they weren't severely tested. They had a great home schedule, you know, and this They've been tested twice in these last two road games, almost lost to Northwestern, and then, of course, they were hammered by Iowa. So they've had a great home schedule for them. They got two more home games left. They should win both of those, and then it's up for grabs when they go to Penn State.
Hey, if they win these next two home games against Minnesota and Purdue, they're going to go to Happy Valley, or Unhappy Valley, whatever the case may be, at 10-1.
Yes.
And they've never done better than 10-1.
No, this will be a great year for them, without a doubt. You know, people should be happy. If they end up 10-2, they should be happy. It's still a great year, no matter how you slice it. Nine wins, 10-11. If they come up 11-1 and finish the year, it's still a great year.
Yeah, and I don't think there was one person, at least I didn't meet anyone, Earl, who said before the season, yeah, you know, Michigan State, they win a national championship.
Nope, there weren't any.
Not even the players' mothers. No, I mean, let's win nine games. That was what I said. I think you were one game under that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea of getting double digits wins was kind of a fantasy. Winning the Big Ten championship, you know, you'd have been laughed at if you'd said that at the beginning of the season.
That's right. You would have been, but they've had a great, great year. Our hats are off to them, Jack. I mean, it really has been a phenomenal year for Michigan State, and hopefully the fans will be happy with it no matter how it ends. Hopefully they should be happy with this year Michigan State is having. And, you know, next year, I said this today, that next year Michigan State can be better than they were this year, but they'll have a worse record.
Right, with that schedule.
Yes. But they can actually be a better team than they are this year, but they may not have the number of wins that they have like they have this year.
Well,
so
this is the opportunity. I don't want to say the opportunity, but a very good opportunity to get Earl Robinson to Pasadena. Those of you who do not know this story, in 1987, Earl tried to be a nice guy and told Jim Adams, who was then the sports director, Jim, you go ahead and go. I'll go next time.
Yeah.
23 years later, you're still standing on the corner waiting for next time.
I still am.
Well, with Nebraska coming in, your next time better be here in a couple months. Two months from today.
If it's not, it might be a long, long time.
Well, let's look at this. I mean, there were people who were doom and gloom, and obviously you can't play much worse than Michigan State did Saturday. They did everything wrong. Kirk Cousins had a horrendous game. They couldn't run the football. They couldn't cover. They couldn't tackle. They got a lot of penalties. You name it, it was bad. And no one can ever sugarcoat that. But it's the same thing as 17-16. And maybe that's what the computers see. They don't look at how bad. They just look at win or loss. And Michigan State is in a situation, if it does win its last three regular season games, it is assured of a Big Ten championship or a share of a Big Ten championship. That hasn't happened in 20 years.
Right.
If it does those things and Wisconsin wins out, which everyone expects, I guess Wisconsin does have to win at Michigan, but I don't think that will be a major issue. If Wisconsin wins out, then it really comes down to one football game, Earl. It is Ohio State at Iowa, and Michigan State will suddenly turn into the biggest Hawkeye fans you've ever seen.
Yep. I got to go with the Buckeyes because they've shown it all year. Jack, they're the best team in the Big Ten, and I haven't seen anything really that dissuades me from thinking that they're not the best team in the Big Ten. And in theory, the best team should win. Even though it's going to be very hard to win in Iowa, without a doubt.
Well, I would disagree with you which team is the best, and I think that Iowa has had a couple of major slips, un-Hawkeye-like games. You know, to lose that game by 1 point to Wisconsin, which, by the way, was a team that clubbed Ohio State, Iowa had to do everything wrong, had to miss an extra point, had to miss a makeable field goal, had to have a 35-yard net penalty on an offside on the kickoff, had to have a blown assignment on a safe punt and wind up with just two guys rushing and a guy runs up the middle for a first down. And everything that could conceivably have gone wrong for Iowa went wrong in that game. You could say, well, then they're not as good a team as Ohio State. But I think you and I might have a little chance to renew our All-Star game wager when Ohio State goes to Iowa.
We might have to do that. We might have to do that because even though, as you mentioned, all those things happen, yes, but as you know, this is football, and strange things happen in football week to week. From week to week, you always see some strange occurrences in football. I still think overall that, you know, the Buckeyes are the best team in the Big Ten.
All right. Before we let you go, I have to ask you for your take on Irvin Johnson. Magic was in Breslin Center. I was sitting there talking for quite a while. I spent about 45 minutes with him. You came over toward the end and probably stuck around for a while. How did he look to you, and what was the most interesting thing he said?
Oh, he looked good. And, you know, we started talking about Michigan State and talking about, you know, how the basketball team really needs the guys have to get it in their mind. And sometimes, you know, we overlook this, but guys have got to get look at their mind and get and try to remember. They need to get focused on getting better each and every day. Each and every practice, they got to try to get better. And, you know, that's his main message, and that's and he's right. I mean, you have to look at it. You can't look from game to game. You got to look at it from practice to practice. And that's how you get better over a long period of time. And if they do that, this can be a very good basketball team.
You know, I think that's a great point you make, because we have seen superstars who have been gifted. That doesn't mean they didn't work hard, but frankly, Michael Jordan has a unique set of talents. Magic Johnson did not, other than the fact that he was a 6'8 or 6'9 point guard. But there was nobody who worked harder. There was nobody who committed himself more to come up with a new skill every offseason. And from the time when he went to Main Street School and would get out there at 5 o'clock in the morning to shovel that parking lot, no one has ever outworked Irvin Johnson when it came to basketball.
No, and that's what makes him so special. He, you know, he developed himself. He made himself into a superstar. Right. Like you say, he wasn't just naturally gifted. He was a very hard worker, and he knew what it would take to get to the top and to be the best. And he had no qualms about working hard and just consistently working hard so he could be the best basketball player ever. And in my mind, for the most part, he was, in his generation, no doubt, he was the best basketball player. I think even better than Jordan. Than Michael.
Wow. Earl, we will see you tomorrow night over at Breslin, the first preseason game for Michigan State.
Okie dokie, Jack.
All right.